The Cambridge Marketing Podcast with Kiran Kapoor. Brought to you by Cambridge Marketing College. See their range of courses and apprenticeships at marketingcollege.com.
Hello and welcome. Today we are talking all about the power of data in marketing. And my guest is Samad Hassaj, Marketing Operations Manager of Advanced. Samad, welcome to the show. Could we start with what Advanced does? Because that'll help us understand the data that you're using.
Hi, Kiran. Yeah, thanks for having me. Advanced is a business-to-business software supplier, and we're in quite a unique position as we have quite a wide breadth of offering. It has what we call a horizontal offering, which is predominantly back-office solutions like financial management systems, human capital management systems, procurement, and IT services. What makes Advanced quite unique is that, as well as this, we also have quite a very strong vertical capability, providing software which is kind of specific to industry requirement, like case management in legal, electronic patient records in the health sector, student information management systems in the education sector, just to mention a few.
Okay, great. So I understand that you have got horizontal products across a whole load of industries. You've got some verticals that are very, very specific to industries, and you mentioned education and legal. I get that. So that sounds like you have a huge amount of data.
Yeah, we do. We kind of serve everything from the NHS all the way to small manufacturing organizations. So we gather a huge amount of data on all of those organizations, whether that be prospect data or customer data as well. And we gather a lot of that data from either our interactions with those organizations, and we put that into our CRM or from our website and other marketing automation tools that we use.
You've just used the phrase marketing automation. So before we move on, can we just clarify what you mean by marketing automation?
Marketing automation is really automating the campaign process and being able to view insight into campaign emails that we send into the market.
Okay, great. So you have all this data, and data's great, but you then need to do something with it. So how do you turn your data into something that's actually actionable?
We're really looking to do three things with the data, and that's getting insights into being able to improve the customer experience, helping in acquiring more customers, and being able to accurately attribute and report. One of the main things that we're doing, especially to improve the customer experience, is we're really looking at predictive analytics and how we can use that to identify cross-sell opportunity. Like I said to you, we're in quite a unique position in being able to provide a wide breadth of solutions to a single organization. What we want to do is be able to identify organizations that may have one product from us, but also have the capability and are of the right size to have other products from us. We can grow our partnership with these organizations.
Okay, so you're using predictive analytics. Now, I'm trying to understand this. So what do you do? Do you look at what a customer does, and then you try and look at what another customer might do? How does it work?
So what we do is provide data, such as demographic data, transactional data, activity data, and other enriched third-party data as well. These are all common things that you probably find in any CRM system, into a predictive analytics model. And what it's aiming to do is it's looking at a customer base. Let's take our cloud HR as an example, is one of our products. Let's take the customer base from that, and it's looking to identify all the common traits out of those four things that are mentioned, so the demographic data, the transactional data, the activity data, and the third-party enriched data, and really creating a picture of what an ideal cloud HR customer looks like in terms of the objective data that we would feed into it. And then what it's doing is it's taking that model to the rest of the customer base, using machine learning to really identify in the rest of our customer base who out there looks the same as a common or typical cloud HR customer and who doesn't yet have cloud HR. This enables us to really predict the requirements of our customers in the future and being able to see exactly which customers we can engage in that conversation about acquiring more products from us.
Wow. So I think for a lot of people, certainly for me, I come across this in the consumer marketplace where you get the famous thing about, I don't know, customers buying nappies and beer together, and that's come out of big data. So that tells supermarkets where they need to put stuff on the shelves. That's a very trite example. But what you're talking about is using that sort of power that we see in the consumer side, but you're applying it to business.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to be able to really, really get as... we want to fulfill all the software needs of most organizations. So we want to be in a position where we can identify those customers really early and take them on that marketing journey to really understand our offering, really understand the full breadth of our offering. Because a lot of these organizations might know us for only the product that they currently buy from us. So we want to really make them aware of the wide breadth of offering that we do have. But we want that to be specific as well. So it's not about giving them the whole catalogue of products, because let's say 80% of the products that we do have are not catered to their industry or area. So we want to be really personalised and really targeted in the way that we're providing content and an offering that is actually suitable to their organisation and can help with their needs that they have.
That's fascinating, because the difference between the consumer side and the business-to-business side is usually described as the length of the decision chain. So if I'm wandering around a supermarket, it's usually just me or somebody I'm with Pesto Power or whatever. But for B2B, surely you're dealing with much more decision makers involved in the decision.
Yeah, and one of the big challenges that we do have is the product that they do have. We'd have abundance of decision makers around that area, for example, in acquiring a HR product, we'd have decision makers in our system around that area. So our focus is to really grow our contact network within these organizations. So they have the whole buying council almost for these organizations. And then we can take them on that journey. So our customer communications team can then take the data that's provided out of our predictive analytics tool to really identify those right people to target for cloud HR, for example, and really take them through a long nurture campaign to be able to really, over the next 12 months or 18 months, take them on that journey to really make them understand the key benefits of having multiple products from us, as well as the benefits of cloud HR itself, as an example.
Yeah, it's quite mind-blowing if you don't work in this area of marketing. One of the other things we talked previously was you don't just look at cross-selling opportunities, you're also looking at retaining customers.
Yeah, we're also using predictive analytics to do retention scoring. We want to be able to really predict the future in terms of customers that might leave. We're in a highly competitive space. There's a lot of software providers now, and we want to be able to provide the best service to our customers. And in order to do that, we're able to really use predictive analytics to identify those customers most likely to leave us. And the way that we do this is by feeding customers that have left into the predictive analytics model and really understanding objectively what are the key data traits have they shown in the 6 months leading to them leaving that we can identify other customers based on. These things might include things like reduced spend on certain training or additional modules, logging less support cases, interacting less with our marketing content, amongst other data points. But we're able then to identify a part of customers that might leave, might not leave, but the data is showing actually there's a high chance that these customers are showing the same trends as the customers that have left in the future. And this enables us to really get close to those customers, really understand the concerns of why some of these data trends have shown up, and really apply that to our wider strategy. So we're able to really get closer to the customers in identifying the key problems that might be leading to customers to leave us.
Okay. So my next question is about the quality of the data. So one of the issues with any predictive analytics system is that it relies on the quality of the data that goes in. It's the classic garbage in, garbage out. So how do you ensure that data quality is kept?
Around data quality, obviously, like most organizations, we've got data strategies, and we aim to implement kind of minimum data sets across all the different systems that we use, especially within our CRM, which is seen as the kind of main version of the truth. So we try to create initiatives and strategies to increase the quality of the data. And one of the big things that bringing in predictive analytics helped us identify is actually maybe the quality of our data wasn't as great. So it really told us when we are looking at the predictions, whether it be for cross-sell or retention scoring, when we actually looked at these organizations, And we said, oh, that can't be right. But then we had a look at the reasons as to why that can't be right. And 9 times out of 10, that was probably because of a data quality issue. So it really enforced to us the key areas that we really need to ensure that the data is in, has the right hygiene in order for it to be successful.
And one of the other areas I know you do a lot of work is in conversational analytics. So can we sort of explain what that is?
Yeah, we're quite a market-orientated marketing team. We want to get as close as possible to the market and to the customers. So one of the ways that we do this and try and get a better understanding of our organizations is really using the thousands and thousands of hours of conversations that we have to really get insights into the customers. And what conversation analytics does for us, it takes these conversations and it transcribes them in a way that we can report against them. And it's got a few different uses, really. And one of the main uses is coaching the people that are speaking to customers on a day-to-day basis. But the big use for marketing is really understanding in a huge, huge scale what customers are saying and what are the key themes and topics that are coming out of these conversations, whether that be issues or whether that be functionality, things about the products that we're selling. It really identifies how we can align R&D, marketing and sales into having a common understanding of what the customer is about. Because as with a lot of businesses, what they'll probably find is that R&D, sales and marketing, often there might be a difference of opinion. But what conversational analytics allows us to do is have a completely objective approach to the way that we view customers. It enables us to see from the customer's mouth themselves what they're saying.
And these are conversations, obviously they have to be recorded conversations. So we're talking about presumably phone calls so that you can then analyze them.
Phone calls, emails, all of that, all data which is commonly stored within CRMs in most organizations now.
I think my final question is going to be around the sheer volume of data that you collect. Have you any idea how much data you're actually holding?
It is a huge amount. I read an interesting stat the other day that about 90% of the world's data since the beginning of time has been created in just the past 2 years. And that's probably the same for our organization. As we bring in more systems, it's capturing more and more data. Near enough, every software that we bring in adds a different element of data to our organization. So yeah, we have a huge, huge amount of data. But like many organizations, I think we're probably moving away from trying to make sense of itself. There's probably now about 8,000 marketing solutions out there in the market, which highlight really that demand from organizations to take the data that they have and drive it into insights. Because the amount of data is too much, and we'd rather that resource be put on to driving action around the insights that are derived out of the data, rather than sitting there trying to make sense of it.
Oh, I see. So you're not having to sit there sort of pore over spreadsheets, which is traditionally the way you do it. You let the machine, the automation, do that bit of the work for you, and then you turn into the actions.
Yeah, our marketing operations team is fundamental in bringing in technology that help make sense of that data. So as I've talked here about predictive analytics and conversational analytics, these are both two types of technology that we've brought on board to really help us make sense of the wide the huge amount of data that we do have.
Samad Hasselt, thank you so much. That was absolutely fascinating insight into the power of data, the huge amount of data that companies can store and how they can actually use it to be actionable. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Kieran. Thank you very much for having me.
The Cambridge Marketing Podcast from Cambridge Marketing College, training marketing and PR professionals across the globe.